Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today on the mark of a man. Masculinity, maleness, what does it mean? Well, it means a lot more than being macho. It means a lot more than just sex. It has deep spiritual significance. Now, I tremble when I talk about this terribly difficult subject of submission. And I'm not talking primarily now to women, I'm talking to men. And I want to be sure to state here that I've never been able to find any place in the Bible where it says, husbands, make sure your wives obey you. What the Bible does say is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But because I talked about submission yesterday, I know that there are going to come some letters. Every time I mention the word or subordination, I get letters from women who are in extremely difficult situations with husbands who either are not Christians or are not behaving like Christians, abusive husbands, alcoholic husbands, non-activist husbands who perhaps are not cruel or mean, they just don't do anything. And so it's very difficult for a woman to submit to that kind of a husband. And in situations of abuse, I do not know what to tell you. And I want to be very clear about that. I don't have the answers. And I want to say to you that might ask me some of these impossible questions, what do you really want more than anything else in the world? Do you want information or do you want holiness? Do you want an explanation of something that you can't understand? Or is your deepest desire simply to be obedient to God? Do you want Elizabeth Elliot to tell you exactly how it's meant to work in your very special, very unusual situation? Well, you're placing a burden too heavy for her or anyone else. Only God can bear that kind of a burden, and He is there for you. He wrote the book. He can show you the next thing that He has for you to do. I do want to encourage you in this. He will give you wisdom and joy in the doing of it. Thousands have found that to be true. And along with all the letters that I get from the women who are in desperation, I also have many letters from women who have found an utterly unexpected answer to what seemed an insoluble problem. Let me encourage you to believe God. And let me give you a psalm, which I would hope would be very comforting to any of you who are in what you think is a situation that you will not be able to bear very much longer. Read Psalm 143, verses 8 to 12. This is what it says, "In the morning let me know thy true love. I have put my trust in thee. Show me the way that I must take. To thee I offer all my heart. Deliver me, Lord, from my enemies, for with thee have I sought refuge. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. In thy gracious kindness, show me the level road. Keep me safe, O Lord, for the honor of thy name, and as thou art just, release me from my distress. In thy love for me, reduce my enemies to silence and bring destruction on all who oppress me, for I am thy servant." And I'd like to repeat especially verse 8 there, because I think that there are two great principles of getting God's help and guidance. Show me the way that I must take. To thee I offer all my heart. God wants to show you the way, and so you must pray for it as the psalmist does. But the other thing that you must do is to offer Him all your heart. In other words, tell him you're all his and you'll do exactly what he says. It is amazing, the letters that I've had giving me really thrilling stories of God's answers to seemingly impossible situations. Well, this subject of masculinity, it really is a subject I enjoy. I enjoy men. And I would say to you women, aren't they fascinating? Can you get along without them? Well, if there are any resounding yeses out there, maybe there's a teeny trace of bitterness or anger in the woman who says yes, she can get along without them. Most of us would say that we would much rather not have to get along without them, though some of you have no choice but to make do without them. If in the providence of God you're single and are one of the many who would love to be married, you'd gladly admit that you miss having a man in your life. I certainly did during my single years, and my single years far outnumber my married years up to this point. I've been talking about what makes a true man, trying to help you think theologically. This is an exercise that is never easy, I suppose, for any of us, to think theologically. We talked to a pastor not very long ago, and he said, you know, you can get people to buy any book, to go into debt, to go to any seminar, to listen to any speaker. They will do anything but take up the cross. And I think I would also say they will do anything but think theologically. And to think theologically is very likely to lead to the cross. If you really get down on your knees and say, to you I offer all my heart, it may cost you something. It may cost you a great deal. I'm trying to get you to think theologically, not to argue exegetically. You know what exegesis is? It means the critical explanation of texts. Don't argue exegetically or hermeneutically. Hermeneutics are the laws whereby the meaning of Scripture is ascertained. This question of the roles of men and women, the meaning of sexuality, I really don't believe is ever going to be solved either by the critical explanation of texts or by the laws whereby the meaning of Scripture is ascertained. It'll never be settled in those ways. It's a question pertaining very deeply to who we are in Christ and how ready we are to receive His gift of masculinity and femininity. It's not a question of temperament or of preference, not of merit, but of order. You remember in Numbers chapter 16, there was a protest for equality. Now, it was not women that were protesting for equality at the time. It was some people who came in and challenged the authority of Moses. And they had 250 Israelites with them, all men of rank in the community, conveners of assembly, and men of good standing. And they confronted Moses and Aaron, and they said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves. Every member of the community is holy, and the Lord is among them all. Why do you set yourselves up above the assembly of the Lord?" Now, if any man were to be challenged that way with reference to his headship in the home, I would hope that he would have the good sense to do exactly what Moses did. Moses didn't answer that charge. He didn't argue. It says in verse 5, when Moses heard this, he prostrated himself. And then he said to Korah and all his company, "Tomorrow morning the Lord shall declare who is his and who is holy and who may present offerings unto him." Well, you may remember the story that they did appear the next morning, and again they repeated their charges that Moses and Aaron were setting themselves up as holier than thou. And the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "Stand apart from this company so that I may make an end of them in a single instant." But they prostrated themselves, that's Moses and Aaron, and said, O God, God of the spirits of all mankind, if one man sins, wilt thou be angry with the whole community? But the Lord said to Moses, tell them to stand back from the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And hardly had Moses spoken when the ground beneath them split. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their homes. A pretty convincing argument that God was in charge and that God had appointed the headship of these two men over his people. It is God who has assigned headship to husbands. Never be embarrassed to accept it. But remember, in the Bible, leadership means sacrifice. The way up is down. A leader is the servant of all. As someone wrote, heavy lies the head that wears a crown. Agape love is profound concern for the welfare of the other, without any desire to control. This is the kind of love that Christ had for us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. No desire to control or to be thanked or to enjoy the process. That's what agape love is. Love gives itself. Priscilla and Aquila, we read, laid down their necks as though by the sword of the executioner for the sake of others. Now, this doesn't fit the popular picture of a take-charge man, but it does fit God's picture. Jesus left his place in glory, not regarding equality as something to be grasped at. He took a place of abject humiliation. First, he was a baby. He died as a criminal. Man's headship is not an acquired taste, but a summons, a call to masculinity, to responsibility, to godliness. You men are in my prayers today. May God help you to be real men for the glory of God.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.